record of that, or you might reconstruct it yourself at home. Okay, that's all I wanted to show about that. So as I mentioned here, I have posted homework set number 4 on the website. It's due a week from Friday. Be the last homework set before the midterm exam, which is the following Thursday after that. Again, just to reiterate what you're responsible for on the exam, in one word, everything. The derivations, the homework, the lectures, the parts of the text I suggested that you read, all that good stuff. And now I think we had just introduced the non-oscillatory Bessel functions last time. These are two independent solutions when you choose the opposite sign of the separation constant from the one we chose for that gave the oscillatory Bessel functions. And I won't rewrite the differential equation. I guess that's in your notes. But here's just a little terminology and limiting forms. So first of all, in terminology, I knew of x and k knew of x are called modified Bessel functions. You can use the series command in Mathematica if you want to know their behavior at small or large distances. So for instance, you could do series of, I guess I should write it out in Mathematica speak, Bessel I of n comma x, x comma 0. Then you can say the number of terms you want in the series. Like if you just want the first leading behavior, I would usually put a 1 there, right? And this would return something that looks like this, that you can also find in the standard books, like the or the digital math library that I gave you the link to last time. That's on the NIST website. That I knew of x goes as absolute x goes to 0. 1 over nu factorial x over 2 to the nu power, which is clearly, if nu is non-negative, this is regular. And in most applications, not all, but in most applications where the angular function in like a two-dimensional or in cylindrical coordinates is unrestricted and you have single valuedness, right, then this nu would become m, would be an integer. Similarly, k nu of x has the following form at x going to 0 minus log x minus gamma plus log 2 for nu equals 0 has this logarithmic irregularity divergence. That's, and for nu greater than 0, It looks like 2 to the minus nu minus 1, nu minus 1 factorial x to the minus nu for nu greater than 0. So that is clearly irregular for both nu equals 0 and nu greater than 0. And the most important property of k nu for applications is that as absolute value of x goes to infinity, this looks like pi over 2x to the 1/2 e to the minus x. So it's regular at infinity. All right, so if you have a region like from 0, this is x, like from 0 to some point A, the only solutions that you can use in this entire interval for a solution of the homogeneous Bessel equation would be either I nu of x or j nu of x. Similarly, if you are between x equals a and infinity, the only solution that you could use in that entire range for the homogeneous solution would be k nu of x. And there are also some graphs in the notes. So the modified Bessel functions are useful in cylindrical coordinate problems where you have a cylinder, for instance, and the bottom and top are held at zero potential. Discuss an example to just a little bit, sketch some of the thoughts how I would tackle a problem like that. Okay, so we're thinking of a cylinder. The z-axis lines up with the cylinder axis. The bottom might be z equals 0. The top might be z equals L. Phi 0 on the top, phi 0 on the bottom. And by the strategies I suggested that you think about when we first started talking about separation of variables, this would mean you would normally prefer to pick oscillatory functions for your separation constant in Z. And that means in terms of solving Laplace's equation, which is our goal, if there's no charges, del squared phi equals 0, if there's no charge inside, we would just be solving del squared phi equals 0, then we need the sum of the separation constants in z and in rho to cancel, to add up to 0. So if one is positive, the other has to be negative. And so the solutions in z for the separated equation capital Z double prime plus K squared Z of Z is 0, right? These solutions that would vanish at both boundaries would be sine kz, but only for certain, these would all vanish at z equals 0, but only for certain values of k would they also vanish up here, namely k is a positive integer times pi over L. And if you want, then you could make normalized solutions, orthonormal, which would be 2 over L to the 1/2 sine n pi z over L. And n would be 1, 2, 3, to infinity. Not 0, because that would just be the trivial 0 solution, which has no physics in it. So right away we can jump to the solutions inside the cylinder. Again, if you might have to refer back to where we separated the Bessel PDE in cylindrical coordinates to remember. Then I claim the solutions inside the cylinder are going to be phi of rho phi phi z will be a sum over all the separable solutions that are not irregular at rho equals 0, namely a sum from m equals minus infinity to infinity with some constant still to be found depending on what final boundary conditions are applied, like on the surface at rho equals, I guess I have to give a radius, rho, I guess I didn't say any radius, but let's call it capital R. Later we might have to, in general, in a typical problem, have to impose some boundary condition on this round surface of the cylinder. And then we'd have these constants. We'd have our e to the I m phi. We have this z solution, oscillatory, sine n pi z over L. And we would have the Bessel function I m. And the same k value that appears in the sine function also appears as the wave number in the Bessel equation. So there, again, if you were given, say, some v function of phi, on the round part of the surface, it might depend on z as well, at phi of, at rho equals r. If you'd be given this function, you can use Fourier's trick to find these coefficients using the orthonormality of the sine z functions and the orthogonality of the e to the I m phi. I didn't include its normalization constant to make them orthonormal, but you could tack on a root 2 pi if you want to not have to remember the orthogonality integral later. So in this problem, that's basically the solution, except for going through the Fourier's trick step of finding the coefficients. You could imagine a couple of variations of that problem. Let's say you have two concentric cylinders of the same height. Another example. Okay. and maybe they're both conducting surfaces and you're interested in the volume V between those two cylinders. Right now you can't eliminate a second independent solution of the Bessel equation because you don't go to the origin. So you can't say, oh, I have only Im of k rho in this volume V of interest here. But let's say this inner wall is held at, say, phi equals 0, in addition to the bottom caps and the top caps. Then you could make a function very easily, and this is a general trick. Actually, what I'm covering right now is something I thought of sharing with you today. It's not in the notes. If you have two solutions of a differential equation, in this case they are in rho coordinate, then of course you could write the most general solution as a linear combination of these two. These are linear equations. And just something that might be useful to know and use when you're trying to quickly solve problems is a solution that is vanishing at rho equals a can be made in one line. You can make a solution that vanishes at a simply this way. You've multiplied a constant times u1 of rho and another constant times u2 of rho and designed it so that it vanishes at rho equals a. If instead you need the derivative, like for Neumann boundary conditions, if you need the derivative to vanish, you could do the same trick, u1 of rho, u2 prime of a, minus u2 of rho, u1 prime of a. And that would work. I hope you all see why this would not work. U1 prime of rho, U2 of A, minus U2 prime of rho, U1 of A. That kind of looks similar, but this doesn't work, of course, because U1 prime and U2 prime don't obey the differential equation. So don't make that mistake. Oh, for this solution, I might mention that you'll notice it has some negative m values in this sum. But here it's useful to know that for integer m, I minus m of x is in fact equal to im of x. But that's only true when m is an integer. So this is one variant of this first kind of basic cylinder problem. Another variant that some perverse professor could ask you on an exam might be a cylinder with a wedge in it. Cut out an angular wedge. And I didn't get great grades in art. But let's say now the phi coordinate now only goes from 0 to some constant like pi over 8 or something. That wouldn't really correspond to this diagram, but you could imagine any number there less than 2 pi. And now your solutions in phi would not be e to the im phi. You you'd have to find solutions. I guess normally you would be given like on some inner surfaces here, you might be given that phi is zero there, for instance. Okay, so that's how we use Bessel functions to solve Laplace's equation. But that's not good enough. We aren't happy. Because there might be charge inside. It's also kind of worth pointing out, maybe, that before I do the Green's functions, that while Bessel functions are so useful for the interior of a finite cylinder, for the exterior, if you're given the exterior of a finite cylinder, you're going to be stuck. I don't know how to do this except set it up as like coupled integral equations or something. So you can very quickly change the separation of variable problems with this, like here, change from the inside of a finite cylinder to the outside of a finite cylinder. You can quickly make a problem that's basically unsolvable. Of course, if we could make it solvable if we added it on an infinite plane here and here. And you might think about that. Why? Now, that one we could solve in this region outside the cylinder between the planes all the way to infinity. We could solve that kind of a problem. You might do that in your vast spare time. Why not? Such enthusiasm. Okay, but we know if we have some boundary surfaces and there's charge inside, we're going to want to not just solve del squared phi equals zero. Our ultimate goal will be to solve del squared phi is minus 4 pi rho, subject to the boundary conditions for whatever charge distribution we were handed inside. And the best way we've found to solve problems like that is to do it with the Green's function formulation with either Dirichlet or Neumann boundary conditions, typically. So let's talk about getting the Green's function. So let's do the simplest case in cylindrical coordinates. Let's find the Green's function with no boundaries. Sometimes I'll just say free space, which means no boundaries. Or sometimes I'll add or say it this way. Just a no boundaries. And again, we could do this choosing oscillatory solutions different ways, but let me use oscillatory solutions in the phi and z coordinates, which is like the example I set up over here. Had oscillatory functions in phi and z. So, okay, we are in cylindrical coordinates, and so in infinite space, we want to solve del x squared g of x, x prime is equal to minus 4 pi, is usually the convention used in electrostatic problems. But as I think I mentioned when we started talking about this sometimes in other problems, like in quantum mechanics, often this 4 pi is not included in the definition of the Green's function. We have the delta rho minus rho prime, delta of phi minus phi prime, delta of z minus z prime. And then there is division by the volume weight factors in these coordinates, which I could write either as rho or as rho prime in that denominator. So I'm going to use what I called method number two, where we are going to use an infinite expansion in the two coordinates that I've chosen to be oscillatory. And then I'll have to find a radial Green's function in rho. Using the Wronskian method. Okay, so the completeness relations in rho and z, let's start from those. Sorry, in phi and z. We have first delta of z minus z prime. There are different ways I could write this, but I'll use, for my z solutions, I'm going to use e to the ikz, which are very convenient, and we use those all the time in quantum mechanics. So this completeness relation reads 1 over 2 pi integral minus infinity to infinity e to the ik times z minus z prime dk. I can also recast this. If you think about this, you could break up the exponential into a sine and cosine. The sine function is odd and vanishes. And so I could also write this as 1 over pi integral 0 to infinity of cosine k z minus z prime dk. I think in my notes I might have a typo here. This maybe was written minus infinity, but you should change that to 0. And secondly, the completeness in the phi coordinate, delta phi minus phi prime, right? These are the two parts of our Green's function. We're going to basically build in those delta functions through these completeness relations. This will be 1 over 2 pi, sum from m equals minus infinity to infinity of e to the im times phi minus phi prime. And so we can jump to an ansatz for the Green's function in the following form. That we still don't know the rho and rho prime dependence, but we'll be then trying to find that later. My ansatz will be g of x, x prime is then the combination of these equations, 1 over 2 pi squared, sum over all m, integers m, for minus infinity to infinity, integral 0 to infinity dk cosine k times z minus z prime. And now we have a radial Green's function in the rho coordinate gm of rho, rho prime, and it will also depend on k in general. So Did I leave? I forgot my e to the I m. Phi minus phi prime. Right. Okay, so now we just have to plug that into our partial differential equation and find the radial equation that would have to be obeyed to satisfy the whole problem. Any questions? Is that all clear? Why I did it that way? Don't be shy. I'm going kind of fast because I'm just using a tool that we've already developed. Somebody wants me, but I don't want them. Take that. Take that. I guess hitting the red button doesn't stop the call, does it? Maybe I just turned down the volume. Modern technology. Yes?
Why did you choose k to be continuous and m to be discrete?
Well, we know the solutions in phi have to be single valued.
Why in c?
You've solved the free particle Schrodinger equation, haven't you? There's no, I mean, the reason this index is integer is to make it single valued. There's no, we are on the real z-axis from minus infinity to plus infinity. There's no similar quantization reason to make k an integer. If we were doing this for a finite volume in Z, like the finite cylinder, then yeah, K would be discrete, like we did before, n pi over L. So yeah, it's a good point. Good question. Okay, so let's see. Here you would... You might look up the operator of del squared in cylindrical coordinates if you don't remember it. The differential operator is acting on the unprimed coordinates here. And we've set up our sum so we have simply can replace some of these operators by their eigenvalues. Because we have eigenfunctions of these two operators. It's a nice thing about eigenvalue, eigenfunctions. And we have the same functions, it's just that we now have to replace those differential operators by the eigenvalues. We're not done yet. All this is, this next line is still inside this sum and integral 1 over rho d by d rho, rho d by d rho minus k squared from the z operator and minus m squared over rho squared from the d squared d phi squared operator. And now that differential operator in curly braces acts on the radial Green's function we still have to find that depends on m and k. And now only if this is equal to these parts of the this right-hand side, will the problem be solved? Right? This quantity cannot have, in the end, any dependence on m or k. Or the completeness of these coordinates, z and phi, will be screwed up. Right? You only get a delta function if you sum these without some other random function of m. I put an f of m here. That's no longer a true equation. I put a q of k here. This is no longer a true equation. So we can't have anything that depends on m or k ultimately in this. In fact, it has to equal this, which you see it has this minus 4 pi delta of rho minus rho prime over rho has no dependence on m or k. And so the completeness, the part of the delta functions in phi and z will not be screwed up. And now if we solve this equation here, subject to the boundary conditions of our problem, we will be done. And we can do that using the Wronskian method. So let's write out a few more details of that. So as I'm doing examples, you might try to think for yourself, okay, what other sorts of problems could I solve with this? What sort of shape boundaries would this method still apply to? Okay, so my claim is this last equation will be satisfied if I, let me take this equality, multiply both sides of the equation by rho, and then we have this equation. D by d rho, rho, d by d rho, gm of rho, rho prime, k minus k squared plus m squared over rho squared, gm of rho, rho prime, k equals minus 4 pi, now delta of rho, minus rho prime. This is exactly the form of the Sturm-Liouville equation. Let me remind you, we derived the Green's function for this equation. D by dx, p of x, d by dx, g of x, x prime, plus q of x, g of x, x prime, equals minus delta of x minus x prime over beta of x, or beta of x prime, as you prefer to write it. And for that equation, we derived that g, which satisfies the continuity equation at x equals x prime and the derivative discontinuity at x equals x prime, is minus u1 of x lesser, the homogeneous solution of this when the right-hand side is 0. I'm calling u1 of x the one regular at small x to the left, times u2 of x greater, the solution applicable at the right boundary, divided by beta of x prime, p of x prime, Wronskian of u1 and u2 evaluated at x prime, where, again, don't forget that this p times w is a constant for Sturm-Liouville problems, and you can evaluate them at any convenient x prime. And often one would go to the origin or to infinity, where you can use the asymptotic series or expressions to have a closed formula for those Wronskians. Sorry, where?
With the k squared plus m squared by rho squared, because we
took... Let's see, I multiplied by rho. Yeah, thanks. I guess that's our equation. Thanks. You're really paying attention. Okay, so here, of course, the mapping will be that x in our Sturm-Liouville equation goes to rho, p goes to rho, and beta goes to 1 over 4 pi. And then we can directly get this. We do still have to identify the u1 and u2. For the non-oscillatory Bessel equation, it doesn't matter how you normalize these solutions because it will cancel out in the Wronskian. Okay, so clearly from what we said earlier, u1 of rho has to be, if we're in infinite space, has to be regular at rho equals 0. So this has to be im of k rho, with the same k that is in the cosine of k times z minus z prime. And similarly, the solution regular at infinity, the right boundary in the rho coordinate, has to be the exponentially decaying non-oscillatory Bessel function, km, capital Km of k rho. Right, so this is regular at the origin. This is regular at infinity. And we can calculate that constant anywhere. So for instance, let's go through the Wronskian calculation just to make sure it's all clear to you. I mean, it's just pretty simple algebra, but I'd like to make sure you get it. Okay, so I'll evaluate the Wronskian. By going to the rho equals 0 limit. And then I'll just need to keep the leading terms in the expansion that I gave you earlier. Im of k rho at rho going to 0, its leading order term is 1 over the absolute value of m factorial times k rho over 2 to the absolute value of m for m integer, as it is here. And the leading order form of km of k rho at the origin is 2 to the absolute m minus 1 times absolute m minus 1 factorial times k rho to the minus absolute m for m non-zero. Let me just work out the Wronskian for m not zero. To simplify a few steps, if you remember, the km had a different form from that for m equals 0 at the origin. So we have to treat that case separately to be careful. But rho prime now times the Wronskian, which is what appears, because p is rho prime here. This equation of Im Km evaluated for the rho prime coordinate right? This is the limit as rho prime goes to 0 of rho prime. Now take these derivatives, twice absolute value of m minus absolute m over rho prime minus absolute m over rho prime. And all this has to equal minus 1. Doesn't have to equal minus, it is equal to minus 1, sorry. Okay, so this p times w, which is a constant independent of rho prime, as advertised, is this number, which appears now in this formula that we're going to use. This formula turns out, this result also happens to work for m equals 0. You might verify that yourself, because I gave you the k0 small rho form earlier. You should be able to work that out yourself. So, finally, gm, the radial part of our Green's function, rho, rho prime k, is simply 4 pi im of k rho lesser k capital Km of k rho greater. Again, rho lesser is the smaller of rho and rho prime. Rho greater is the larger of rho and rho prime. And so finally, we have a new formula for the Green's function in free space, which we have previously derived more than one way already. Let me write it out in all its glory. G of x, x prime is 2 over pi sum from m minus infinity to infinity integral 0 to infinity dk cosine k times z minus z prime e to the im phi minus phi prime capital im of k rho lesser capital km of k rho greater. So we have an identity here. We have this beautiful representation, which looks a little more complicated to use than this. But there are some problems where, believe it or not, it's advantageous to use this form. If you have some function of rho, for instance, the charge density that you have to integrate over is a function of rho, phi, and z, it might be really messy to try to use this form of the Green's function to integrate over it. But in this form, you might be able to do all the integrals analytically. Then you'll still have, well, to add an infinite number of terms and do an infinite integral, but that's life. Okay, that's the Green's function in cylindrical coordinates with no boundaries present. I like it. Let's see, I was thinking now to talk a little about one of the problems in Jackson chapter 3. Give you a little experience. Working with what might be a fairly challenging problem. Number 3.16. And I think the first part of it was to carry out a delta function orthogonality demonstration. Actually, I should have brought the problem, but I didn't bring that with me. Any of you have your Jackson with you? And actually, this part A, I'm not planning to go through, but it's in the notes. The solution is in the notes. And it's basically to show, I think the point of the problem is to show that the integral 0 to infinity of rho d rho jm of rho r prime jm of rho r. Actually, I don't like this. I'm going to make this k dk instead of the way I wrote it in the notes. Jm of kr prime jm of kr, right? If these are an orthonormal set of functions or orthogonal set of functions, this should be equal to a delta function. So that is actually what this problem is, and I show one way to solve that in the notes that I'm not going to cover now. But I will do 3.16b, which is to make the Green's function in cylindrical coordinates for a different choice of the separation constants. I just had solved the one where we had oscillatory z and phi. Now I'm going to do the one where it is oscillatory in phi and in rho. So it will be exponential type behavior in the z coordinate. And I'll still do it with no conducting surfaces, but you can repeat this. Add your favorite conducting surfaces. You could do that. Yeah. You're looking forward to that. Yeah. Okay, right after class. All right. Here's an equation that will not surprise any of you. Del squared g of xx prime is going to equal minus 4 pi over rho delta of rho minus rho prime, delta of z minus z prime, delta of phi minus phi prime. You're probably getting tired of seeing that, but this is our life today. So I'm going to use a different ansatz now, because I have different oscillatory functions. Usually you can't make an infinite sum equal to the completeness relation unless they are oscillatory, of course. To represent a delta function, you're going to have an infinite number of solutions that look like that. You can also do it with the Wronskian method with non-oscillatory functions. But if you're going to use the completeness expansion into an infinite set, those functions better be oscillatory. And like a complete set of eigenfunctions, usually of some differential operator. So here is my ansatz I'm going to work with accordingly. A different ansatz than I used for that form of the Green's function over there. G of xx prime we'll write as still a sum over all m minus infinity to infinity, integers only, e to the im phi minus phi prime. Let's go ahead and tack in the factor 2 pi. And now let's write the rest as an integral 0 to infinity of k dk. Don't forget this k weight factor, which notice was here in the orthogonality relation of Bessel functions. Just like you had rho d rho in cylindrical coordinates, you've got to have k dk in cylindrical coordinates in the wave number integral. And now I'm going to use that completeness relation that part A derived. Sorry, I'm not using the completeness relation. I'm using the orthogonality. Sorry. I'm not using this, which is the orthogonality relation. I'm using the analogous integral over, what am I saying? I have confused myself. Yeah, this is the this is the completeness relation. This is not the orthogonality. Yeah, the orthogonality relation would be this integral, rho d rho jm of k rho jm of k prime rho. When k and k prime are different, that has to be zero, right? So I'm using the completeness relation. The Bessel functions are not orthogonal with respect to M. Sorry, who said that? The orthogonality in M comes from the phi integrals, not from the Bessel functions. So for instance, if you have Jm, Jm prime, this is nothing simple. Okay, now back to my ansatz. Sorry, I confused myself for a minute there. We have Jm of k rho. We have Jm of k rho prime. Right, so these parts are representing the completeness. They're representing the delta functions in phi minus phi prime and rho minus rho prime. But we're left with an unknown function, capital Z, that will depend on K and M, and depends on little z and little z prime. That's the corresponding ansatz. So again, because when x is not equal to x prime, we are just solving Laplace's equation. The right-hand side is zero. And so again, we need, if we pick oscillatory functions in rho, we have to use non-oscillatory exponential behavior in z and z prime. Okay, when you plug this in, I'll spare you the algebra. We get the differential equation z has to obey in order to make this a Green's function, obeying this equation. Namely, minus k squared capital Z of zz prime plus capital Z double prime of zz prime. Derivatives are with respect to z, not with respect to z prime. I'm just shortening my notation a little. That has to equal minus 4 pi delta of z minus z prime. And if it does, then again, it will be a quantity when that del squared g acts on this, which makes this z dependent independent of these other indices m and k. It'll just be replacing the z operator by this delta function. So what are the homogeneous solutions we need to apply our Wronskian method? We want one solution, right? We're talking about the z-axis. That goes in free space from minus infinity to infinity. there are two solutions of the homogeneous equation where I set the right-hand side to 0, and I call them U1 and U2. U1 of z has to be regular at minus infinity. And I'm claiming we all know what solution that is. K, notice in this integral, is a non-negative variable. In writing it in this form, this is the function which is regular at minus infinity. E to the minus kz would blow up, would diverge at minus infinity. Similarly, the solution regular at plus infinity is e to the minus kz. And so, applying the Wronskian formula again, here that function p in the Sturm-Liouville equation is 1. So z of z prime is just, again, our minus 4 pi we still have. And we have u1 of z lesser, u2 of z greater over there Wronskian. And the Wronskian is I didn't actually write the Wronskian. I just wrote the next line of the equation. And I think it's maybe 2k. Okay, yeah, it's 2k. Right, you can quickly do the Wronskian of U1 and U2. You can check that on your own. So this is 4 pi over 2k e to the k times z lesser minus z greater. And there's another way to write this, which is convenient, 2 pi over k, simply e to the minus k. Oops, there's a typo in my notes. Absolute value of z minus z prime. So I left this out in the notes in a moment of temporary insanity. So we have another interesting identity. Let me write it out. We have another way to write the Green's function, which in some problems is going to be very useful. The free space Green's function. We already have one closed form, 1 over the absolute value x minus x prime. We already have that form. We have a spherical coordinate form. And now we have a second cylindrical coordinate form. So g of x, x prime, some m integral. Is there another typo here? Oh, no. The k cancels the 1 over k. So it's just an integral dk without the k factor because it got canceled by the Wronskian over there. And then e to the im phi minus phi prime jm of k rho jm of k rho prime. E to the minus k absolute value z minus z prime. And here's another identity. This is equal to 1 over x minus x prime. So that is the solution to problem 3.16b. And 3.16c, part c, asks you to consider a special case of this formula. Let rho prime go to 0 and derive a simpler identity. it's really the same identity, but just take the limit rho prime going to 0. And that means that all the jm of k rho primes in our sum, now, if you remember, jm goes like rho to the absolute, rho prime to the absolute value m. So all of those will vanish except m equals 0. Which collapses that infinite sum to a single term. Although we're still left with an integral. And it says in, we're all supposed to let, also supposed to let z prime go to 0. And now then, this gives another identity, namely 1 over root rho squared plus z squared. Right, that's 1 over the vector x minus x prime. Absolute value is simply, if I set rho prime to 0 and z prime to 0, that's just equal to 1 over root rho squared plus z squared. And now that's equal to this integral e to the minus k absolute value of z j0 of k rho dk. That's what we were supposed to prove, I think. I guess a second part of problem 3.16. Aren't you glad I'm solving this instead of assigning it to you guys? Let's do another special case. Setting z prime to 0 and phi prime to 0, then what is 1 over the distance x minus x prime, if we write that in cylindrical coordinates, when z prime is 0 and phi prime is 0, this will be rho squared plus rho prime squared minus 2 rho rho prime cosine phi to the minus 1/2. Then this, if I make those same substitutions over there in the sum and integral, we get that this is equal to the sum over m minus infinity to infinity integral 0 to infinity dk e to the im phi jm of k rho jm of k rho prime e to the minus k absolute z. Now, to be a little bit perverse, I'm going to replace rho in this equation by something more complicated. I'm going to replace rho, right, this is a variable. I can change it as long as I change it on both sides of the equation. I'll replace it by rho squared plus rho prime squared minus 2 rho rho prime cos phi to the 1/2. And then that says the following. This becomes now the integral 0 to infinity of e to the minus k absolute z J zero, sorry, I'm not replacing it in that equation, I am replacing it in this equation, which I called equation one. Equation one. Yeah, in this equation I'm replacing, sorry, I lost my train of thought again. And that gives minus k absolute z, j0 of this complicated argument, k times the square root, rho squared plus rho prime squared, minus 2 rho rho prime cosine phi all to the 1/2 power, integral dk. Is equal to integral 0 to infinity dk e to the minus k absolute z sum over m e to the im phi jm of k rho jm of k rho prime. Oh, I'm out of time, aren't I? Geez. Maybe I'll just let you do this in your notes, but the main point is that this last identity I will show on this page leads to this crucial identity, which is necessary if you ever do scattering theory and quantum mechanics in two dimensions. And I hope you do. And the last identity is this, I to the m, e to the im, phi, jm of k rho. Anyway, the proof is in the notes, but I think I won't go through it. And next time, I think, we are going to start chapter 4. And there are also two final pages, please read on your own, that I'm not going to cover in lecture, on pages 99 and 100, on a general way to show orthonormality. Oh, this is a test only. Okay, I feel I have been notified. Thank you. See you on Thursday.